to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
To your table and I will dance. Give me bread and give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied. You of course be my God. To your table and I will dance. Give me bread and give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied. As you have called me to your table, and I will dine. Say, I have bread and I have wine.
I have bread and I have wine.
And I am forever satisfied. As you have called me to your table, and I will dine. Say, I have bread and I have wine.
I have bread and I have wine.
I am forever satisfied. You have gone,
you have gone
to your table,
to your table, and I will die.
I am bread and I am wine.
I am bread and I am wine.
And I am forever satisfied. You have gone,
you have gone
to your table,
to your table, and I will die.
When a king invites you to his table, when you come to a king's table, there is no restriction on what you can eat anymore. The restriction is at the point of entry. As long as you have access, as long as you have been given entrance, there is no more restriction placed on you. The much you can eat is therefore dependent on your appetite. And aside from your appetite, the much you can eat is also dependent on how trained you are at feasting at the king's table. Somebody was just jokingly telling me this morning that at the wedding reception yesterday, she looked through the menu and she didn't understand anything on the menu. If you have not understood that menu before then, even if you come hungry, you may not be able to eat.
Yes.
So when the king invites you, he has invited us this morning. Your restriction, your limitation would have been at the point where you were trying to decide if you would go to the king's table to dine or not. But because you are here already, a table is set before you. And the onus is now on you to feast. Give me bread, give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied. You have called,
you have called
to
me
your table,
to your table, and I
am determined to die.
Give me bread,
I am determined to feast.
I am
determined to eat.
I cannot be forever satisfied.
You have called
to your table.
Forever satisfied,
you have called
to your table, and I will die.
Give me bread and give me wine,
and give me wine,
and I'll be forever satisfied.
You have called
to your table,
and I will die.
Give me bread and give me wine,
and give me wine.
To your table,
to your table,
give me
Hallelujah. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. 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 The feast has begun. The feast has begun. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Daddy, it's such a privilege to have you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. This is our year of dominion and influence. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. You know, it occurred to me that this year, many of us will be compelled to memorize Genesis chapter 1. At this rate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, let me start by saying that God's intention to create man, I mean, last week, Pastor talked about, not just last week, we've been on Genesis chapter 1. And I remember Pastor had mentioned to us that when God created man, it was both male and female. Now, God's intention to create man was not an afterthought. It was deliberate. When God said, "Let us make man," he was intentional about it. It wasn't because on the sixth day, God still had a day and there was nothing more to do, and he thought of creating one more thing. It wasn't because God just felt, okay, let me just have a man. There was a reason for the creation of man. Genesis chapter 1, please. Media and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Next verse. And the earth was without form and void. Now, there were certain problems with the earth. The first one was that the earth was without form. And form here means there was no structure. It means it laid waste. When you say a state of confusion, that was what the earth represented then. It was a wasteland. I've seen some Bible versions that describe it as a wasteland. It was wasting away. There were resources embedded in the earth, but the earth had become a wasteland. It was wasting away. And Bible records also that it was void. Void there means it was empty. It was in ruins. It was unoccupied. Now, the void there does not necessarily mean that it was not actually occupied. It meant that it was not satisfactorily occupied, according to God's plan when he made the earth. Because in the next line, you will see that darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was covered in darkness. So it was occupied by darkness, but not in alignment with God's purpose. And so Bible records that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Other versions will say the darkness covered the earth, the face of the deep. It covered it. So at that point, there was actually dominion, but it was by darkness. Certain description of that darkness, if you look into the concordance, describes it as wickedness, destruction. So it was not just the darkness you see at night when you shut your windows to go to bed. It was covered in destruction. It was covered in wickedness. The devil was having a field day. Hallelujah. So there was actually something ruling, but it was not as planned by God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So the earth was covered with darkness, was covered with mystery, was covered with ignorance, was covered with all sorts of evil, wickedness. And these were the three problems with the earth. It was without form, it was void, and it was covered in darkness. And these problems prompted God to go into creation. And that was when God began to create. Hallelujah. And God began to create. If you go to verse 3. And God said. Now, when you read "and God said," you might be tempted to think that God probably had a dental floss in his mouth and he was just saying, and God said, no. The Hebrew word for that said is omar. And omar means to challenge, to charge at. So when God said, God was challenging the darkness that covered the earth. So God did not start resolving the issues with the earth by creating things to bring things into the void. God addressed the darkness first because there was already an existing authority which was not as ordained by God. And God charged at the darkness. And God challenged the darkness. And God said, let there be light. And that light was not sun. Because later in verses 14, 15, 16, you will see where God created sun, the greater moon and the lesser moon. That light was not the sun. By God saying, charging at, challenging. Now begin to think about why you have to challenge. It means you are contending for something. So when God said, let there be light, it was God's introduction of Jesus into that scene. Such that God introduced Jesus both as the Word and as light. Because John chapter 1 gives us that record. That everything was made by him, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when Jesus came on the earth, when God said, let there be light, God introduced Jesus as the Word and as the light to subdue the darkness that was already reigning on the earth. And so the Bible records that God separated the light from the darkness. So the darkness was still there, but God had introduced a higher power, a higher authority to subdue the darkness, to keep it under. To create a balance of power and of authority. Such that when God moved to verse 26 and said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. What God was doing was bringing man to occupy the earth in the life of Christ. In our likeness, like the light he had introduced in verse 3, so that man could take control, continue to subdue, have dominion on the earth. So, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, was because the only strength or the only kind of power that could sustain that dominion, that could sustain subduing that level of darkness, was the power that was likened to that Christ carried. So I've come to tell you that when God made you, you were not an afterthought. God made us because he wanted us to continue in that terrain of dominion. He made the birds and he said, multiply, be fruitful. He made trees and he said, multiply. When he made man, he did not stop at multiplying and fruitful. Don't worry, the void will be taken care of by the birds and every other thing. You will multiply, but I need you to sustain the earth by subduing the darkness. By that level of authority and power that Jesus carried. I am not ordinary. If you doubt it, Jesus already said, he said, I am the light of the world. And in another record, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. As I am here, so are you. Rakadaba sukete beli kedebo shekete beli kataya. Imbalakata balakata bali kadabo zekete beli kataya. And that was why when man fell, even though animals were given up as sacrifice to atone for our sins, remember the Bible says that the life of an animal is in his blood. But you see, the blood of animals shed for our sin was not, it did not carry enough life to sustain dominion on the earth. It didn't carry enough life to subdue the darkness on the earth. So Christ had to come again to restore us to factory setting. What had been done in the beginning when God said, let there be light. The same potency in that light that God called for is what you carry on your within. It's what you carry in your bosom. And it is what God is referring to when he says, have dominion. Because the light shines in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it. Hey, Kadabo Zakataya. Pray in the spirit for some seconds. I am the light of the world. I have dominion. That was the original plan of God for me. In the name of Jesus. Back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Get ready to pray throughout this season. We are going to be praying. Dominion is not by play. I have dominion, I have influence. It's not. We will pray. Amen. Verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Now, I want you to understand that this moving of the Spirit of God can also be described as the stirring by the Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the earth to begin to prepare the earth. To begin to prepare the earth for the new thing God was doing. For the restoration God was doing. In our confession, we say systems are restored. We say excellence is restored. We say systems are transformed. That was the same thing that God did in Genesis chapter 1. But the Spirit of the Lord had to come there to temper the atmosphere, to begin to prepare. And don't make the mistake of thinking that after the Spirit of God moved over the face of the earth, the Spirit went back. No, because when God said, let us, the Spirit was part of the let us. And so one of the things the Spirit of God did was also to prepare the agent of dominion. They are seated right here. The agents of dominion seated right here. One of the things the Spirit did was to begin to stir us in preparation for our manifestation as the sons of God. Now, permit me to say that the greatest mistake Eve made when the devil went to her, I know at the point I think I've mentioned it before, that when the devil went to Eve, the devil actually repeated the same thing God had told them. But you see, the mistake Eve made was to think that the desire to be like God started with a conversation with the devil. The devil said, if you eat it, you will be like God. Genesis chapter 3. And then Eve looked at the fruit and she saw that it was desirable to make her wise and be like God. So she assumed that the desire she was beginning to have within her to be like God started when the devil began to talk to her. But when God made man in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, he said, let us make them in our image, in our likeness. So that desire in Eve to be like God started when God said. Because every of God said was a charge. So Eve did not start desiring, but she thought that it was the devil who brought that idea. So what the Holy Spirit did when he hovered upon the earth was to begin to drop in us the desires for God's transformation on the earth. He began to drop in us, he began to work in us through stirrings. Such that at every point in time, when you think of taking dominion, it is not as you will, it is as the Lord wills. Hallelujah. 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 It is not the devil's suggestion for you to rise to the top in your organization. Stop thinking it is your ambition that is pushing you. It is the seed of dominion that God planted in you in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And these stirrings can come in different forms. Number one, I've said they come in desires. you will just see that you are having a desire for something. You just see that you are beginning to like to do something. David in the Bible, I mean, when Samuel went to Jesse and, you know, he began to say, bring out your sons, and he brought all the sons. Then he said, are these all? Because God said I should come here to anoint your son, and I don't find anyone worthy of the anointing. And Jesse said, there's one more. He keepeth the flock. That keepeth, that same word that describes that keepeth in Hebrews describes it as friendship. No, you don't understand. So David keeping the flock, his father was a shepherd who kept flocks. David decided to keep the flock was that he began to develop some level of friendship, companionship, concern for the flock. If it wasn't by friendship, when the bear and the lion came, David would have fled for his life. But you see, that desire in him to begin to keep flock did not start when he started seeing the flock. It started because God was already shopping for a replacement for Saul. And the person that will replace Saul must be one that can stand protecting Israel and facing the Goliath that will come after them. God didn't need a political leader. God needed a man that had his own kind of heart for Israel. So that when David saw Goliath, the first thing that came to his mind is, who is this one insulting the God of Israel? So they come as desires. Something just keeps, you know, you just keep feeling like you want to do something. They could come as impressions. When Daniel refused to eat at the king's table, it wasn't because he had it all. He probably just had the impression, don't. And sometimes we have that. Pastor Buki was preaching in first service and she said, listen to your thoughts. Pay attention. They come as impressions. They come as thoughts. They come as ideas. Remember the story in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 7. The land that was famished with famine, and the word of the Lord had gone forth that by this time tomorrow, a bag of rice will sell for 5 naira. Even here, most of us can't fathom it. A bag of rice. Pastor Omi, tell us 30,000. That's a likable miracle. But the Lord says a bag of rice will sell at 5 naira. But they didn't believe. But some lepers were at the gate and an idea dropped in their hearts. That idea was not their idea. It was the stirring of the spirit working for the manifestation of the word that had gone forth. Because what would God had used 3 lepers for before the army of Syria? And as they were crawling, I can imagine they made little or no noise. The Syrian army began to hear the loud chants of chariots and they fled. The same Syrian army that an entire nation locked themselves up against and said, we will not face them because they will kill us. Then 3 lepers come in. So I'm telling you that the stirrings in your heart, the promptings the Spirit of God is dropping in your heart. And that's why I tag this message, stirrings for dominion. They are not your thoughts. They are not your ambitions. They are the speakings of the Lord concerning you in this season. In the course of the week, I was sharing, I don't even know why we, you know, we're in the kitchen and we're just gisting. The kids had gone to school. So we're talking and then I just shared a story with Pastor. And I was telling him how that at a point in my former organization, I got into a new role. And on that role, I felt there wasn't so much to do, but I was doing the work. But you know when you are there and you don't want your boss to think that you're idle. I mean, I was coming from the branch where we were doing everything. No time to eat. Then I got into the head office department and there was, you know, a bit of free time. So at a point, I don't even know what happened to me. I stumbled on a GL and this is not about me. God forbid that this is about me. Oh, sorry. A general ledger. The general ledger shows the transactions in the account. And so it was the general ledger that showed transactions that reported into staff cost. So I began to look at it and I saw some abnormalities. And I was like, this is diesel. This should go to general services. Why is it coming to HR account? And from nowhere, I sat with that. Nobody sent me. I said, it's staring in your heart will be a task that nobody sent you. It is something that is not on your job description. No. The Lord will just be prompting you, check, touch it, look at it. And I started reconciliation. That reconciliation took me weeks. And I was faithfully doing it. Then after I finished the reconciliation, I noticed a huge difference. But I didn't know who to talk to. I just got into the department. I didn't know who to ask questions. So I saved it. I saved it in my drive. And I left it. A year and a half after. So because the stirrings of God, sometimes some of you will live here now. And then tomorrow, God will put an idea in your heart. And you expect that by Tuesday, God should give you the reward. You see this stirring, it takes time. You have to be a man of patience to understand the stirrings of the Spirit. Because you will start a program today that is not relevant to what you are currently doing. But because you are led by God, you may not even need it until 2 years after. You'll be at an interview and they will ask, do you know anything about this? Then you will remember, I have a certification, and that will be it. So when you hear the stirrings, I'm not saying today God will tell you to do something. Tomorrow the result will come out. Stirrings are gentle. They are not forceful. They are just there. And so a year and a half after, I was moved to another department that I didn't like. I felt it was too much work. My head of HR promised me, come to compensation, and after 3 months, we'll take you back to your finance team. And I was happy. And then I got there, and she called me one day and said, Wumi, I have a problem. Over the past 4 years, nobody has been able to reconcile staff cost for me. I know there's a problem. I keep going to the board for increase in salaries, and they keep telling me staff cost is inflated. But I know it is not staff cost. She said, so many people have reconciled it, and they keep coming to me to say there is nothing wrong. She said, so that will be your assignment. In 2 weeks, in my mind, they did it for 4 years. Nobody gave you results. She said, in 2 weeks, do it and let's see if you come up with anything. I didn't ask like I'd done it before. Yes, now. Why? I just said, okay, ma, let's see what will come out of it. I went back to my system, something I had done 1.5 years ago. But now, I had the authorization to begin to request for additional details that I needed. So, at that point, I just sent out the mails to the different finance teams. I need the complete GL as a date. I copied her in the mail, so she saw that I was doing something. But I had completed that work 1.5 years ago when it didn't matter. When it wasn't my business, when it wasn't my task to do, I don't even know why I did it. Except the only explanation I can give is that it was by the stirrings of the Spirit of God. And so in 1 week, I just barely waited. My anxiety helped me. I waited for 1 week and maybe 2 days. Then I sent her an email and said, I've reconciled it. There's a difference of about 900 million. And she said, Wumi, nobody has ever, I knew there was a problem. Nobody had ever done this. And so I submitted the report to her, and she looked at me and said, now I can go boldly to the board. So she went to the board. She told them, I've always told you there was a problem, and then it was resolved. And she said, you are the only one. Oh, is somebody remembering the story of Joseph here? He said, you are the only one that can do this. I'm not returning you to where I brought you from. Stay here. And that is why I am still where I am. Hallelujah. So when the Lord begins to stir your heart, be sensitive. Oh, yes. Okay. So you see, when you share your story with somebody before, then they will not remind you of the things that you didn't. So as at when I got into that role, I was an ABO, for those of you who are familiar with banking grades, assistant banking officer. But that role required a minimum of DM, deputy manager, on that role. And ABO, BO, SBO, AM, DM. So I was originally not qualified to be in that role because I was an ABO. I needed at least 3 more steps to get into the, so that was 3 more in between, then the 4th one to get me to the DM role. So she had to exceptionally approve my staying on that role. because of that singular task. That was the singular task. And so they had to fast track my promotion. So every year they were moving me. Move to BO. The next year, move to SBO. The next year. So they kept moving me every year till I got to SBO. 2 years after, I got to AM. And it was just linked to that singular task. So when the steering starts, it could be for you to take a training. There are so many testimonies I can be sharing. So many testimonies. I shared with Pastor how I got my Harvard training. It was not because I was just on my system. And I opened the LMS, the learning management system in the office. And I saw a training, action-centered leadership. Nobody sent me. I normally don't even like sitting down. My work was hectic enough. So I launched it. I saw the introduction. It was very interesting. So I enrolled myself for the training that would add, and the training took me up to like 4 months. So I told myself every evening after close of work, between 6 and 7:30, I will take this training for the next 4 months. Nobody sent me. But you see, when the steerings come, responsibilities come with it. Most of the time we miss the steerings because we are lazy to take on those extra responsibilities that nobody has sent us. I remember last year Pastor was preaching and he said, any additional work they give you at work, take it and do it. The next day, my boss called me. There's a project. We need somebody to lead it. I wanted to tell her no, but I remembered what Pastor said. So I said, you know what, can I get back to you? She said, okay, take all the time you need, but I need you to get back within the week. You just told me to take all the time I need. You're telling me to get back within the week. Then I remember what Pastor said. Then I went to him and I said, why do you always say things like this? Why did you tell us any work they give you, take it? This work is already very hectic. Now, if I don't do it, it will look like disobedience. So I went back to her and I took that task. I will come back to share the testimony of what that has done. It wasn't easy. So I took this training by myself, enrolled myself in a 4-month training. Because some people here, I still hear some conversations with pastor and some people. Pastor is telling you, which training? Do you want to take this one? Why don't you do this? Why they are still pushing you. They are still telling you do it. And you do not understand that when the word goes forth, the next thing that comes is the stirring of the spirit. That shifts you from your comfortable position. It shifts you from your convenient areas and pushes you into areas where you do not naturally want to go to. It is not because you love to do it. It is different. So I took that training 4 months, every evening, 6 to 7:30. Nobody sent me. Everybody would have closed. I would sit down, take the training. About 2 years after, I had forgotten that I did any training. A new head of HR came. She looked at analytics for the organization, and she said, our LMS is being underutilized. People don't go there. Let's reward those who have been using it, so that we can challenge more people to take it. She said, give me the records of everyone who has self-enrolled in a training that lasted longer than 3 months. Because for you to self-enroll in a training that lasts more than 3 months, then you must have been determined and disciplined to do it. And then they spooled it. In an organization of about 11,000, only 25 people fell in that category. And I was one of them. And the organization said, choose Harvard, Informa, whichever training. It had to be an Ivy League institution for the 25 of us, all sponsored, including the trips for the exams. The stirrings of the spirit are powerful. And God deposited it the moment he said, let us make man. So the brooding of the spirit did not stop in Genesis chapter 1. You still have the brooding of the spirit over you. Because as long as you have that word of dominion resting on you, the Holy Spirit is still working upon you, helping you to walk in alignment with that word that already exists upon your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So back to Eve, the strategy the devil used was just to make her feel he was the one putting the desire. But you know, he wasn't just making her think he was the one putting the desire. What the devil was actually doing at that time was corrupting the desire that was already in Eve. He was corrupting the desire that was already in Eve. With the way Pastor Tokpa is standing up, I can never finish this message. Shall I stop here, Pastor? I was going to talk about the corruption of the desires. Ezra chapter 1. Media, please help me. Let's move fast. Ezra chapter 1. And I'm just going to paraphrase. Please, in the course of the week, go and study this particular chapter. Ezra chapter 1. And if you go through this chapter, you will see where Bible records that, you know, go to verse. Okay, yes, here. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. The spirit stirring walks in line with the word. When the word is resting upon you, expect that the spirit begins to brood over you in that season, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, jump to verse 3. So what he had said was for everyone, for the temple of the Lord to be rebuilt. Hallelujah. And then he said, who is there among you of all these people? Is God be with him? And let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. Move to the next verse for me quickly. And whosoever remaineth, next verse. We're rushing now. Next verse. Now, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised. If you look at it in the Amplified Version classified, it said, all of them whom the spirit of the Lord had stirred up. So everyone who got up, who volunteered to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple, was not as they desired. It wasn't because they had a good heart. It was the Lord stirring their spirits. I told you, I said the strategy the devil used on Eve, which is what the devil still does to us, is to corrupt that desires, the desire, the ambition. You are beginning to look at it as if it started with you, as if it originated from you. Hallelujah. 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 If as at today, everything we have said about dominion and influence from the beginning of year still resonates in your heart as a time for you to blow, your desire has been corrupted. If when you think of dominion and influence, what comes to your mind is, finally this year I go blow, the devil will make you blow. Hallelujah. And that is why we must understand dominion from God's own perspective. And you know what? God will go to any length. He says, ask of me, and I will give you the ends of the earth, nations for your possession. I will multiply you. You will not be few. It will go to any length as long as there is an alignment. As long as your desire remains yielded unto God. If everything you heard today is about how you will get promoted at work so that you can shame your enemies. Now, if you go further to... Lord help me. Ezra chapter 3, if you read that story further, you will see where they now had, they were faced with certain contentions. They couldn't proceed with the building. They laid the foundations quite all right. But after they laid the foundations, things stopped. They were being, you know, there were contentions. They had people fight against them. And then there was another decree and they had to stop. And you would think in your mind that, oh, all of these contentions were the works of the devil to stop the work of God. Because many people are already thinking, why is it taking so long for me to get a job? Why can't I get a promotion? Why is it taking so long for me to prosper in this field? Why am I facing all these contentions? And you know, naturally, you would just think that the oppositions are the works of the enemy. And so everything had to stop. But by divine intervention, further in the book of Ezra, two prophets rose, a guy and Zechariah, and they were the ones who prophesied. But if you jump to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, and I'm rounding up now. The book of Haggai, chapter 1. Because when I read that story in Ezra, I was asking myself, what exactly? The Bible just said that Haggai prophesied. So I jumped to Haggai to see what the prophecy was. And, okay, let's see if you can quickly rush this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time is not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. So this was when they were altered. And it says, although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. So there was a delay of 18 years in the construction of the temple. And it wasn't because of the opposition. Go on. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses. Why the house? Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses? Why the house of the Lord remains in ruin? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. Yes. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. Does that describe some contention you are facing? You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. Pastor keeps praying. He keeps prophesying every Sunday. This is my year of dominion. I'm not seeing anything. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. He who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in them. I get paid every month. I'm not seeing anything. Nothing seems to be moving. Go on. Thus says a lot of us, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared, and what were their ways. Go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it and I will glorify, says the Lord, by setting it done for my glory and by displaying my glory in it. Verse 9. You looked for much harvest, and behold, it came to little. And even when you brought that home, I blew it away. Why? 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 Why the delay? Why the contention? Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house. Because at a point, the people who left to come and build in Jerusalem, they left by the stirrings of the Spirit of God. But when they got to where they were going to build, they got carried away. Their stirrings, their desires, their ambitions became corrupted by the enemy, such that they lost focus. And rather than building to the glory of God, they began to build for themselves. So if your desire for dominion is so that you can blow, you fall, unfortunately, in this category. When Anna was looking for a child, Bible records that she would go year in, year out to the house of prayer because Penina provoked her. So in Yoruba language, I know they will say, Fumi Lomokin Lekpe Ronisha. She was probably asking God, give me a child, at least the one that I can send to buy bread, the one that I can send to buy milk. My enemies will see my child and say, where are you going? My mommy sent me to buy milk. But God was saying, Anna, as much as I love you, the sons that I have now, they are not for sending up and down for bread and milk. The sons that I have now are the ones that can take back Israel for me, and the ones that can stand as judge upon the land, are the ones that will execute righteousness. Your prayer is not priority to me now, because God checks the intent of the heart. What is your intention for your dominion? Rest your feet. When the Lord said, subdue the earth, take dominion, it was so that his own authority remains on the earth. It was so that his own level of authority remains in every sphere. So when you are called into the board of any company, it is not so much for your name to be heard, but for glory to be given to the name of the Lord. It is not so much for you to be known. Yes, you will be known. And that's one thing we forget. You are the vessel. You will be recognized. But the primary intention of God is for his glory. We're going to repent this morning of every way we have allowed the devil to corrupt our desires, corrupt your ambitions, Many people are so ambitious that they've forgotten that the reason why they are even on that job is because God placed them there as his ambassadors. Not because you have a qualification. Do you know many people are qualified? Many of us have forgotten that we are heirs of the kingdom. That the kingdom of this world may in the long run become the kingdom of our God. This morning you say, Father, I repent. Of every way I have allowed selfishness, greed, to corrupt my desires for dominion, to corrupt my desires for influence. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want you to begin to open up your heart and tell the Lord, Father, I'm yielded to your stirrings. You see these stirrings, it could be that all of a sudden they are moving you from one unit where you are very comfortable, like I was. You're very comfortable, there's no stress, to another unit where you have to jump 10 buses to get there. Oh, but it's part of the stirrings of the Lord for you in this season. Why don't you begin to say, Father, my heart is open to you. I'm yielded to your stirrings. I am yielded to your stirrings. I am yielded to your stirrings. I'm yielded to your moving. I'm yielded to your stirrings upon my life. In this season, Mahadabo Shakata, Rekata Basukete Beli.
You have received the word, and heaven has marked your moment. This week, you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep soaring.